Okay, so I wanted to start, a couple of weeks, maybe a short series, discussing some inyanim of Yom Tov. I made the cheshbon that it comes out all the major Yom Tovim, we're so preoccupied with the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov, we very often forget that there's regular Hilchas Yom Tov. The second half of Chelek Hei, the Mishnah Berurah, the first half is Hilchas Pesach, then he has one siman on Hilchas Shavuos, Hilchas Sfir Saimir is in there, and the rest of it is all Hilchas Yom Tov. But every time we come across a Yom Tov, we're so preoccupied with the Yom Tov. We have Pesach, so we're busy with Matzah and the Chametz. We never learn Hilchas Yom Tov. Then we get the Sukkot, we're busy with the Lulav and Nesvig and the Sukkot. Shavuos, we're busy eating cheesecake. So we never really have a chance to focus on Hilchas Yom Tov for Hilchas Yom Tov. So I figure Rosh Hashanah is a little bit to perhaps the Yom Tov to do so. Again, there's a lot of Yom Tov based on Rosh Hashanah, but Baruch Hashem, a lot of it we've covered already in other shiurim, which is posted on YU Torah, so you can listen if you feel like we're not getting enough of Rosh Hashanah based topics. We've discussed it in the past. So I figure let's spend at least 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, I don't think more than that, but I'll say blin edik, I don't get myself into trouble, just discussing some practical Yom Tov-based halachas, which are true for all Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos and Pesach and Sukkot, but some interesting things about the halachas pertaining to Yom Tov that I think are often overlooked or are not focused on. What I want to discuss tonight is understanding what we know today as widely accepted that there's a heter to cook on Yom Tov. So the problem is people know there's a heter to cook on Yom Tov, and then once they know there's a heter to cook on Yom Tov, so now Yom Tov becomes like Tuesday and everything is hutra. Everything becomes mut. We're going to spend some time tonight discussing that Yom Tov still carries along Kedushas Yom Tov, and there are many things that are not allowed on Yom Tov. Yes, you can cook, and even in the cooking world, we'll see there are quite a few details that are very relevant that we need to focus on. So we'll start off like this. It says in the Torah, in Parashas Boy, the Torah writes, this is referring to the Yom Tov of Pesach. This is when we left Mitzrayim. It says in the Torah, "B'yom Rishon, the first day of Pesach, Mikra'i Kodesh, or B'yom Ashvi Mikra Kodesh Yelachem." It should be a day of calling. The Ramban writes in his commentary, "What does it mean a day of calling? It should be a day used for holiness, a day used for davening, a day used for learning." That was the purpose of Yom Tov. That's the first day and the seventh day. Kol malacha lo yaseh behem, all malacha should not be done in them. We spoke about this drasha before, lo yaseh, that means even through a shlichus, or through a goy. Ach, however, ach, says the Torah, ashe yeochel l'chol nefesh, what may be consumed by all people, hu levado yeyoseh lechem, that alone may be done. This is the famous heter that everyone knows today called oichel nefesh. There's some concept out there called Oichel Nefesh. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah writes, even though Yom Tov has the status of Mikrei Kodesh, and Kol Molo Yachol Lo Yaseh Behem, you're not allowed to do all other work, but there's a leniency, you're allowed to do what's called Ach, however, Asher Yeochel L'chol Nefesh, but what will be consumed, these are important words, L'chol Nefesh, by all people, which we're going to have to get into tonight, that alone you are allowed to do on Shabbos. So the Torah itself clearly permits what we know today as Oichel Nefesh, and we assume Oichel Nefesh is somehow connected to food and food-related. We'll discuss more about that in a second. So the Ramban has an interesting comment, not on this pasuk in Boi, but he writes it in Parshas Emor. Again, we know the Mayadim are repeated quite a few times in the Torah, but the Yom Tov, the one specific Yom Tov discussed in Parshas Boi, happens to be the Yom Tov of Pesach. Which is interesting, is the only place where the Torah writes the heter of Oichel Nefesh is specifically by Yom Tov of Pesach. So there are those who discuss, well, maybe it's only by Pesach. How do you know I can apply it to Shavuos and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah? Maybe it's only by Pesach. So the Ramban has an interesting idea over here. There's a similar idea found in the Magid Mishnah, as the way the Lechem Mishnah explains it in the beginning of the Rambam and Hilchos Yom Tov. The Ramban writes the following idea. He writes, Avol Pirish Melechas Avoida. He wants to know, if you look through the Chumash, sometimes you'll find that the Torah writes that Melechas Avoida Loisasu. What's Melechas Avoida? That seems repetitive. The work of the work. It seems to be almost repetitive. What does it mean? So we all know, contrary to Reform Judaism, Melacha is not strenuous activity. And everyone knows that people say, oh, Melacha means on Shabbos, you know, I'll do strenuous activity. But turning on the light switch and driving the car, that's not strenuous, so that's Mutter. So that's an incorrect definition of the word malacha. Malacha does not mean, at least for Shabbos and for Yom Tov, it doesn't mean strenuous activity. What are the 39 malachos? So we spoke about this many times. The idea of the 39 malachos are accomplishments. All of the 39 malachos, they're not strenuous, but they accomplish something. Right? Every time you do one of the malachos, you created something, you changed something's status, you made it a chashiv or oftu, you made a major accomplishment. So that's the definition of malacha. But what's the definition of avoida? The Torah says, right? Kol melacha, when the Torah says melechas avoida, what does it mean melechas avoida? So the Ramban writes, kol melacha she'enu letzorich oichol nefesh. That's coming to exclude oichol nefesh. Why? Ke'inyin she'nemar, it says in the Torah, she'ishi jamim tavid vasisa kol melachtecha, u'b'chol avoida basode, v'avadetem v'nizratem, v'kayin haya oivid adama. You always see the word oivid, or the word avoida, connected to some form of physical labor. Beautiful idea from the Ramban. Says the Ramban, you know why oichal nefesh is okay? Because it's not labor. It's not a void. It's not work. It's pleasure. You want to cook supper. You want to have a meal. You want to have something tasty. You want to take a hot shower. You want to wash your body. Says the Ramban, oichal nefesh is not called melechas avoida. It's not called physical labor. That's what explained in the Torah. The first place where we find the het of oichal nefesh in the Torah is by the Yom Tov HaPesach, as we just mentioned. It says in the Torah, it doesn't say the word avoida. It says work, anything. So you say to yourself, if that's the idea, so even oichal nefesh should be aser. Bishlam, if the Torah would have written avoida, so the Torah meant some form of a strenuous activity. So you'll tell me oichal nefesh is pleasurable. That's not what it wrote. The Torah said the word melacha. Melacha means anything. Says Dr. Ramban, did the Torah to speak out? By all the yom tovim, the Torah wrote it much shorter. Dr. Ramban, beautiful. Whenever the Torah wrote lo yisasu kom lechas avoida, so I automatically know that oichal nefesh is mutter because oichal nefesh is not called avoida. But by Chag HaMatzis, the Torah changed the terminology. The Torah never said you're not allowed to do avoida. The Torah said you're not allowed to do melacha. So that's why the minute later, the Torah had to put in, but okay. Even though melacha would have prohibited oichal nefesh is mutter. So writes the Ramban. A very nice idea from the Ramban that avoida is considered strenuous or not allowed or field-like. But oichal nefesh is, this is a beautiful idea of the Ramban, that's called... But oichal nefesh is melechas hana. It's work. It's pleasure. It's work of pleasure. It's not considered avoda. So writes the Ramban. Okay.
So why would the pasuk just say kol melechas avoda?
But if it would have written that, then
I would know that oichal nefesh.
That's right.
Anyway.
But that's Ramban's point. But the Torah didn't write that. That's right.
If it said kol melechas avoda,
then we would have
said that would only be physical work.
Right.
And food would be okay.
Right.
Would that be a shorter way of?
You're right, right. Meaning, that's the Ramban's point. The Ramban's point, if you look at all the other places in the Torah, all the other Mayadim, there it says the word Lashon Avoida. So the Torah didn't have to repeat every time that Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, because Avoida is automatically, but over here in Parashas Boy, you're asking, why didn't the Torah write it? I don't know.
Right.
This is, I guess, what we'll learn from. But it's an interesting observation that the Ramban is telling us why over here the Torah spoke it out and it didn't speak out in other places. Okay, so this is the Heter that we know called Oichel Nefesh, things are Mutter because of Oichel Nefesh. But what we need to get into tonight, exactly what is this heter called oichal nefesh? So let's start like this. There's a mishnah in Beya, beginning of the third perek. The mishnah says, "Ain't sodim dogim min ababirim b'yamtiv." You're not allowed to go trapping. You can't go fishing on yamtiv. So the first question is, why not? Fishing, I'm going to go shab. I'll go yamtiv morning after davening. I'll go fishing, bring home the fish, cook the fish. That's oichal nefesh. What happened to the heter called oichal nefesh? It says in the Torah you're allowed to do oichal nefesh. So why isn't trapping considered oichal nefesh? So Rashi writes over here, number four, very important yisoid. So Rashi, afagav deshchita v'afiyu bishol meyavas melachi sein v'hotchul tzerich yamtif. What do you mean? Tzad is one of the 39 melachas. Okay, and so is shchita, and so is bishol, and so is afiyah, and that's all mutter and yamtif. So why can't I go out and trap on yamtif? I want to catch a real fresh animal. So I'll go out Shabbos yamtif morning. I'll trap the animal. I'll bring it home. I'll shecht it, and then I'll cook it on the fire, and that's good to go. Why is that not permissible, Zakrashi? Zakrashi, a new yisoid. Taimei mishum di efshem erev yamtif. Zakrashi, you know why those are omitted? Because those you couldn't have done on erev yamtif. Why not? The shchit echayish lemikamar bisra pen yischamim v'yatsriach. Maybe it will heat up. It will spoil. I would say the efshel tzadim ibay dream. This is the famous idea that we know that things that could have been done before yamtif. Where is this idea that things that could have been done before yamtif are not allowed to be done on yamtif? It's this Rashi Maseches Beis. From the Mishnah says you're not allowed to trap on yamtif. No one knows why. Why can't you trap on yamtif? So Rashi, because anything that could have been done before yamtif is not allowed to be done on yamtif. But so Rashi, you can't shecht before yamtif. Why? Because it's going to go bad. So we're going to talk about tonight. We have this thing called a refrigerator.
But if you fish on Friday.
No, so he writes over here, Avot Seda, Efshel Etzoidim Iboy Joim, Vayenichenem B'Metsudas B'mayim. You can leave it in nets in the water, V'lo Yomus, It won't die. You'll take it tomorrow. No harm, says the Rashi. You can leave it trapped. There will be nothing bad will happen to it. Therefore, Rashi develops this idea that anything that could have been done before Yom Tov is not permitted on Yom Tov. Even though the Torah says, Eichel Nefesh is mutter. But Rashi has this idea that it has to be something which was impossible to be done before Yom Tov. Now, we'll have to define a lot better. What does it mean, impossible to be done before Yom Tov? What happens if you were busy in Erev Yom Tov? Let's say you had to work till 5 o'clock, and Yom Tov is at 6 o'clock. So now you come home, you have an hour to cook. So you can only get so much done. Is that considered impossible to be done before Yom Tov? Or impossible means that the food will somehow be affected if you cook it early. Now, obviously, with the modern day cooking with refrigerators and freezers, this presents a massive question.
Nothing we do now is impossible.
Ah, that's what we're going to get to today. There are people still today. We're going to discuss this tonight for those people who like to cook on Yom Tov. It's a very interesting. I find it to be more of a personality thing. There are some people who get everything done 3 days before Yom Tov. Some people already have Rosh Hashanah sukkahs cooked. It's packed away in the freezer. That's one style of people. And then those people are more laid back. They'll stroll into Yom Tov and they'll start cooking. I know somebody told me in my shul, he comes home Yom Tov night after davening, he first starts cooking the food then. Doesn't eat till 2-3 hours after the davening is over. Now, it's mutter, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Well, we'll have to see tonight, is that so simple that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov? If you could have done it before Yom Tov, put it in the freezer and it perhaps will taste exactly the same. That's what we're going to get into tonight. So Rashi develops this idea, a big yisoid, that anything that could have been done before Yom Tov, it's not permitted to be done on Yom Tov. So Rashi will get it from this Mishnah. However, the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. For example, if you look over here, number 5, there's an important Gemara in Be'ah. The Gemara, the same Gemara, is found in Megillah, Daf Zayin. The Gemara says, the time you lived in a Braisa, ain't been Yom Tov l'Shabbos. There is no difference in Yom Tov l'Shabbos, elo oichol nefesh b'vad. Right, that's the famous idea. That's the Mishnah in Megillah, the ain't beins. What is the major difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or if you live in a community that has no area, if the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is when you're allowed to carry, when you're not allowed to carry, which that is also not so pashut. People have to, those communities that don't have an area, they have to understand that it's not just a free-for-all you can carry for whatever reason. There has to be some form of a justifiable reason. We'll talk a little bit more tonight about it, even though most of us live in communities that this is not an issue, but perhaps one of our listeners online live in a community that still today doesn't have an Erev. As my wife always says to me, why would you live there if there's no Erev? But okay, that's a question for a different time. But nonetheless, there are still big Jewish communities that don't have an Erev.
But even with an Erev,
it's a little somewhat better, but yeah. So we'll see. So the Gemara says, Yehuda Mata Af Machshira Eichel Nefesh. Yehuda has a bigger chiddush. This takes us back to our Sunday morning discussion. I'm trying not to go down that route, but Rabbi Yehuda says that not only on Yom Tov am I allowed to do Eichel Nefesh, I'm even allowed to do Machshira Eichel Nefesh. What's the difference between Eichel Nefesh and Machshira Nefesh? So Eichel Nefesh is something directly connected to the food, cooking the food. Machshira Eichel Nefesh would be going out to the store and buying a knife or sharpening a knife so I can then shech the animal. Machshir Eichel Nefesh would be fixing the oven, so now I can cook the food in the oven. That's a step removed. So the Gemara says, my time is Tanna Kamma. What's this sheet of the Tanna Kamma that you can't do Machshir? On my card, it says in the Torah. Hu levado yeyaseh lechem. It alone may be done. What's the who? Hu v'le Machshir. Only the malach itself. Only the cooking, the shechting, but not the prep to get to that point. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do? Amar Kra, it says in the Pasuk Lachem. It says in the Torah, you're allowed to do for yourself. Lachem, l'chol tzorcheich, whatever you have to get done. Go shopping, go buy the knife and create the knife, whatever you need to do to make Shechita happen and Yom Tov happen. V'tanakam, haksiv lachem, amar l'chol, ahu lachem, v'loy l'nachem. There's another topic maybe we'll talk about. You're only allowed to do Eichel Nefesh for yourself, but not for Goyim. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov to give to Goyim. You're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov to give for yourself. That's why the Shulchan Aruch Pascha, you're not really supposed to invite non-Jewish guests on Yom Tov because we're afraid that you may cook extra for them. What happens if I already cooked before? Okay, maybe, I don't know if it's so negay here, but for those people that are doing Kiruv, it's very relevant because you invite a non-religious Jew and they want to bring their non-Jewish spouse. And you bring them in, so how does that work? That's a shayla that comes up every Yom Tov for those people that do Kiruv. It could be negay if you have help at home that you have to feed. Let's say you have a cleaning lady that you feed and they come on Yom Tov, or you have a maid or an aide. These are shayles that maybe we will discuss in a subsequent part. But that's the Gemara makes the drush. V'idach, nami haksiv, hu amal haksiv, hu ksiv lachem v'loikasha. Now, this is what I want. So, the Gemara, loikasha. Kam b'machshirin she'ev shal asayis mi'ev yom tov, kam b'machshirin she'ev shal asayis mi'ev yom tov. By machshirei oichol nefesh, the Gemara has a distinction between ev shal asayis mi'ev yom tov versus not, but the Gemara never makes a distinction about oichol nefesh itself. So this is a shtickle kasha and Rashi. Because this Gemara is saying that the only time we differentiate before what you could have done before and what you couldn't have done is only by machshire, not by Eichel Nefesh itself. Rashi holds that even by Eichel Nefesh mamish, even by cooking and by shechting, we also draw a distinction if you could have done it before versus if you couldn't have done it before. So the Rosh has this Gemara as a kasha and Rashi. Says the Rosh in number 6, Mitoich Pirish Rashi Mashma, Ditseida Asura Midai Raisa. This is a very important comment from the Rosh. According to the Rosh, according to Rashi, if I do something which I could have done on Erev Yom Tov and I do it on Yom Tov, I'm in a violation of an Isra Daraisa. So let's say, for example, I could have cooked something on Erev Yom Tov and I just decided I'm not interested. Because I figured, hey, why do it now? I could do it tomorrow. I'm in a violation of an Isra Daraisa. Says the Rosh, because the Rashi gave the reason why you're not allowed to trap on Yom Tov more than shechting and cooking. Because all those other things will have a difference if you do them before versus if you do them on the day itself. But trapping you can do the day before. This Gemara that I just quoted to you sounds not like that. Why? From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between machshirin, that's a step removed, that could have been done before versus could have been done after, mechlal de ba'oichal nefesh, Rabbi Yehuda is only discussing machshirin. What about oichal nefesh itself? Loi mafli, there's no difference. Oichal nefesh is always mutter. Says the Rosh, a new pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning he disagrees with Rashi's premise. He holds you can do it every Shabbos, and this is the famous Shaila, is Yom Tov and cooking Hutra or Dechuya? So there's a comment from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, there's a comment from the Prima Gadim. It's Takam Mutal Gami, it's Hutra. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, period. So why can't I trap on Yom Tov? So Rashi has this idea, anything you could have done before you can't do on. So Rosh, not true. So now you have a kash on your hand. So why can't I cook? So why can't I trap on Yom Tov? Sakti Rosh, Xer the Rabbanon. El Rabbanon who the guys are Ktziru, Btziru, V'tchina. The Rabbanon with guys are a bunch of the 39 Melachas. Why? The Visha Adam Raga Litzar Karmai Ke'echad V'Litzar Sedeo Ke'echad V'Litchin Harbe B'Yachad. Says the Rosh, there are certain Melachas that are done in large numbers. Some Melachas you do small, for now, for today, for tomorrow. And then there's some Melachas you don't just do small, you do massive. You're not kaitzer one piece. You're kaitzer an entire field, right? So therefore, zok de rosh, those malachas where you do them in mass numbers, we don't allow in Yom Tov. Why not? The dummy l'uvdei dechol. It looks like uvdei dechol. You don't trap, apparently, you don't just trap one thing. You trap large numbers. You trap a bunch of fish beyond what you need even for Yom Tov. Therefore, says the Rosh, a whole new idea. There are certain malachas that are not permitted in Yom Tov, midderabana, not midderais. Midderais, anything is mutter. According to the Rosh, midderais, you can go out and hunt. Midderais, you can do everything. The Rabbanan said, you know what? We only allow those things that are done in smaller increments. Cooking, you don't normally cook for 3 weeks in advance. You cook for what you need for now and then. Therefore, says the Rosh, that's why you're not allowed to trap. So we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim in what's mutter under Oichal Nefesh. According to Rashi, what's mutter under Oichal Nefesh is only that that couldn't have been done before Yom Tov. While according to Rashi, that's mutter. What's only mutter is those things that are done in smaller increments, not a more massive type of production. So the obvious question is, how do we paskin?
If you have a fish in your bathtub.
Right, so that's already going to be a loy plug. Now that once we assert trapping, because trapping is normally done in large numbers, you can't even trap in small. Let's say a guy wakes up Yom Tov and he says, I have nothing to eat, so I'm going to go outside and trap. That's us. That would not be allowed to do. What type of violation would it be? So according to Rashi, it would be Nisa Daraisa. According to the Rosh, it would be Nisa Darabon, which we'll bring another develop a little bit more.
So
the,
does Rashi say something you can cook
Good, that's what we're going to get to in a second. That's what this idea that everyone knows about, it comes from this rash, we'll have to develop a little bit more.
We find that as generations go on, as models that we're ready, you know, we can prepare stuff in the lemon and keep it fresher.
That's what we're going to talk about. That's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to make the argument that today, because of the modern day refrigerator and freezer, we don't eat things as fresh as perhaps we'd like to. Does that have a halachic impact? Because if you look in the Rambam number 7, the Rambam goes like Rashi. Zok the Rambam, kol malacha she'efshar la'asos me'erev Yom Tov. Anything that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. V'lo yeba hefsit. There will be no loss. V'lo yechesaron. There will be nothing missing. Im nasis mi be'erev. Asru chachomim la'asos. Here the Rambam is going different than the Rosh. He's assuming that it will only be Nisad Rabbanon. Also, La Soise B'Yom Tov, Ava Pishi L'Tzarech Achila. So the Rambam, if I could have done something on Erev Yom Tov, and there's no downsides to doing it early. Nothing affected. Now he has two Lashonos here. There's no Hefsid and there's no Chesaron. What exactly is he referring to? There's no loss and there's nothing missing. Which means it's the exact same thing. There's no downside at all for doing it on Erev Yom Tov. But I'm not interested. I'd rather have more time on Erev Yom Tov and I'll cook on Yom Tov. Zakti Rambam, that's not allowed. V'loma asru davazeh. Why not? Zakti Rambam, gzeirish em yaniach adam alachos she'efshal asayis me'erev Yom Tov. Li Yom Tov. Because a person will say to themselves, what do you mean? Why should I spend the whole Erev Yom Tov cooking? I'll rather spend the whole Erev Yom Tov working. And then on Yom Tov, when I'm not allowed to work, I'll do the cooking. What's wrong with that, Dr. Rambam? V'nimtzel Yom Tov kuli hoylich basiyas oisim alochis. You're going to turn your whole Yom Tov into cooking. V'yimne misimchas Yom Tov. You're going to take away from the whole simchas Yom Tov. That's not what the Yom Tov is supposed to be about, cooking. You won't even have time to eat. It's going to take. I would thought he'd say you don't have time to learn, you don't have time to daven. He doesn't even go that route. So, Dr. Ram, that's not what Yom Tov was for. Yom Tov was for enjoying it. He's supposed to do the prep before. Yeah, some prep is allowed, but Dr. Rambam, that's not what Chazal wanted Yom Tov to look like.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, we're going to see. Right. This is not the idea.
The Rambam is not saying it's over melacha.
It's an Issa Derabbanan.
It's an Issa Derabbanan, and it's. Just
not right. It's not, the Rabbanan said it's not right. So again, if you would the food become muscle? No, Pasha's not. So this is the Rabbanan. We don't want you doing this. It's inappropriate Yom Tov activity. While the Rosh has a comment. Okay, so for those people, that's more enjoyable than perhaps eating and socializing. But this is very important. This Rambam. Now, how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So if you look at number 8 on Siman Tov Tzadi Hey, that's the first Siman in Hilchos Yom Tov. Zokta Mechaber, Kol Melacha Asura B'Shabbos Asura B'Yom Tov. A lot of people don't know this. Whatever you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov also. Chutz Mimelechas Oichol Nefesh, except for Oichol Nefesh, that's cooking. V'chutz Mehoitzah, except for carrying. V'Havara, and kindling a fire. But Lineder, next week I want to talk more about the issues of the ovens and raising the gas and lowering the gas and turning on the ovens. All those shilohs, we'll leave the gas, Mr. Shem, for next week. And we'll talk also next week about Hachana. Preparing for one Yom Tov to the next, and one meal to the next, what you're allowed to do. We'll talk about that, and maybe we'll talk about the nearest Yom Tov also, Blue Nether, next week.
So the other melachas that we associate with cooking, like tochein.
We'll get to that a little bit today, if not Blue Nether next week. Again, the other melachas are still on the table. They're still applicable. We'll have to see how that works out. Blue Nether, we'll talk a little bit more today, if not Blue Nether next week. So what does the Mechaber say? So everything is aser except Oichol Nefesh. Fine. Says the Ramah, Shiyesh Bem Tzarech Tzas, V'chein Machshirei Oichol Nefesh. What else is permitted, says the Shulchan Aruch? Oichol nefesh, shaloi hoyu efshel asoyis mi'etmol. That couldn't have been done before. He doesn't say, what about oichol nefesh, that couldn't have been done before. So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch would lead you to believe that oichol nefesh is mutter, no matter what. Oichol nefesh is completely mutter. Again, oichol nefesh. Maybe not trapping, but oichol nefesh. Says the Ramah, no, the yesh machmirin afilu ba oichol nefesh atzmai. No, we're machmir. Even by oichol nefesh, even by shchit and bishol, kol she'ini mapik tam klal. If it doesn't affect the taste at all, it maso me'erv yamtif. Where does that come from? That was the Rashi, the Rambam. That if it doesn't have any downside, then you should do it before. So the Ramah paskins that if it has no downside, then you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. If it has a downside, even a little bit of a downside, you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Miu, however, im lo aso be'erev Yom Tov, let's say you didn't do it on Yom Tov, on Erev Yom Tov, v'yesh bo tzorich Yom Tov, and you really wanted, you forgot to make the turkey on Erev Yom Tov, and you really want to have the turkey now, says Ramah, mutal asos aydi shinoi. You make a shinoi. How do you do the shinoi? We'll talk more about. But what is the Ramah paskin? The Ramah holds that anything that could have been done before Yom Tov, he holds like Rashi, he holds like the Rambam, that anything that could have been done before Yom Tov and wasn't done before Yom Tov is not allowed. Not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah number 9, Midrabbanan. He assumes that it's Nisa Midrabbanan. What's the Isser? Kadesh Le'yavar Olav Kol Yom Mimalechaz Vimna Misimchaz Yom Tov. He goes like we saw from the Rambam. Right, but the question is that what Simchas Yom Tov really means? The assumption that Simchas Yom Tov means you're supposed to enjoy the Yom Tov, not cook the Yom Tov.
I mean, even if you want to have it, you want to have it.
Right, right. So we'll see what the purpose of the Shinoi is and how that all works, hopefully, at some point.
It's very subjective, then.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to that. I do not know the difference. Maybe I'm wrong. I cannot tell the difference if the schnitzel was made 5 minutes ago or last night. Or 2 days. I don't recognize it. Maybe I'm just not sensitive enough. There are people that are very sensitive. They could tell if the meat was made an hour ago, if the meat was made 2 weeks ago, the meat was made a month ago. So the question is, what for me, do I have any reason why I'm allowed to eat meat made on Yom Tov for the same price? I can make it on every Yom Tov. That's what I want to get to tonight. That's part of what I want to discuss.
A similar question is, could have been done before Yom Tov. Is that also subjective?
Yes. Perhaps. Let's say, what does it mean, could have? We'll talk about a Shaila. She had no pots. Her kitchen was so stocked up, she had no pots to cook the food in. She should go out and buy another pot. Is that considered could have? What happens if it would have cost her more money to make it on Yom Tov? She'd have to, whatever. We'll talk about those types of shadows as well. So, what?
Run out of fridge space.
We'll talk about that also. Deber Sina Rav is a tshuva. You mamish have no more room in your fridge. Or what happens? You run out of steam. You run out of energy. You can't cook anymore. Right? Many of our wives have these problems. They're just all cooked out. They can't think of cooking. And then they realize, oh, I forgot to make something. So, believe that the Yeah, 100%. That's what we want. That's what I want to get to. I want to get, again, the purpose of today's year is really to come out that cooking on Yom Tov is very tricky. You got to really be careful what you're cooking and how you're cooking to make sure you're doing it right. Because if you're doing it wrong, you could be in a violation of an Issa D'Oraisa, or at least an Issa D'Rabbanan. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. He goes like the Mishnah Berurah assumes like the Rambam. If you look in the Shaar Tzion number 10, he writes, after had Toisus Megillah Zayin Muchach the Svil Hudu Deraisa, even though Toisus Megillah holds that cooking something on Yom Tov that could have been done before is in this Deraisa, Roy Poiskim Svil Hudu Rabbanon. Says Mr. Berurah, but Lamaisa, most Poiskim don't assume like that. They hold this in this Rabbanon. The Chain Toisus Gufa B'Shabbos Davtzadi Hey Muchach the Svil Hudu Loi Have Ki Emid Rabbanon. And that seems to be the opinion of another Toisus, and in Bay it seems like that. So the Mr. Berurah seems comfortably going with the Rambam that something that could have been cooked before, and you decided to cook an Yom Tov, you'd be in a rabbinic violation as opposed to an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, so now let's understand what this Rambam meant. What did the Rambam write? That anything that will not be mapik tam klal won't affect the taste. What does that mean? Says in Mishnah Berurah number 9. Kosh ena mapik. Delisha va'afiyah u'shchitu u'bishol. All these malachas. In mason be'erev Yom Tov yesh b'em chasaran tam. There will be a small loss of taste. If you shech the chicken, you cook the chicken on Erev Yom Tov, now you wait till Yom Tov, it's not the same. Now what about if you cook it on Erev Yom Tov and you eat it Yom Tov night? Let's say Yom Tov starts 7:30. So you cook it at 6 o'clock. You're telling me there's going to be a big difference in taste? That's going to be mafik tam? So how's that justifiable? I told you this guy comes home the first night of Yom Tov, he starts cooking up a storm. What's the heter? The first night of Yom Tov, you could have made it an hour ago. You're going to tell me there's a mapik tam between 1-2 hours? And I hear. You're going to make something on 3 days before Yom Tov, and you're going to serve it on the second day Yom Tov, so there's 5 days in between. I hear you'll tell me it doesn't taste the same. Fine. But the Yom Tov starts at 7:30, and you'll finish cooking it 10 minutes before Shkia, and you'll serve it, what? We're talking about 2 hours? You can tell the difference. You go to a restaurant, you think the food is that much fresher? I don't know. It's more fresh than 2 hours. I don't know. So that's what we'll see. The Chayim talking about, Rabbi Yashav discusses this Shaila. How do you justify that? Seems to be hard to justify. We'll see, they do justify it. So if you're a first night Yom Tov cooker, you'll see you can justify it, but it needs explanation. Says the Mr. Berurah, it gets affected. It's not the same. I don't know, okay. Something cooked yesterday is not the same thing as cooked today. Again, all the meat we get is shechted way more than etmol, right? So, I don't know. Ulachi like gazur behem. Avodavish imba kilkul tam vehev sidin nasim etmol. Nothing that will be ruined or affected. Lom loy lasay sim yom tif. Why should you make it a yom tif? Because of achroinim dinaktina lamaiskis verzu. That's how we pass it. Because of oid lafi dazu also lolish yom tif vermizlin shekoyin lokshin. You can't need lokshin. You can't make lokshin. Why? She'evsher hanilushim v'vayim tovim yaser. There are some dishes that not only can be made before, but are actually better when made before. So he writes those dishes. V'chein also levashal peiros yivayim yom tov. You're not allowed to cook dried fruit. Right? A very popular chassidish dish is kompot. I don't like it, but those people who eat in the chassidish world, they eat it religiously every Shabbos. The kompot is the dessert, standard chassidish dessert. So apparently the way to make kompot, the right way, is to make it not fresh, but to make it a few days before, I guess let it sit or cook, whatever. So then you can't make kompot on Yom Tov. Why? Because it's not only could it have been done before, it's actually better if it was done before. So what's the head to do it on Yom Tov? So he writes, all these things are awesome. However, important line from the Mishnah Berurah, Miu, im loy hoyu lo sho'is mikaydim levashal. Let's say you didn't have time, you ran out of time. Let's say you didn't have the fruits. You didn't get a delivery of the fruits, so the fruits didn't ripen. Let's say you bought all these fruits, but they didn't ripen yet, so you can't make a dish of them. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's all okay. So again, you have to ask yourself, can I or can't I? Now, what does Mishnah Berurah mean? It means you didn't have time. You didn't have time because you didn't give yourself enough time, or you didn't have time because you were trying your best and you ran out of time. Not clear. Says the Mishnah Berurah, tam klal, mashma, dimapik tam, afilu bimiktsas. This is very important for us. Even if it affects the taste slightly, a little bit, shari lukuli alma. So this is the heter everyone says today. Steak cooked yesterday and chicken cooked today. A little bit difference you could. I don't notice, I can't notice even a little bit. But there are those who say you can notice even a little bit. That's all you need. As long as you're mapik tam ktsas, says the Mr. Brewer, it's justifiable. And then he goes to all the things you're not allowed to do. Now, let's skip the Sipkot and Yud for a second. Let's say, Vimlo aso me'er v'yomtev ne eze oinus. Let's say an oinus happened. Then muta afilu b'lo yishine. What's an oinus? It's up to you to figure out what's an oinus. Right? An oinus means you have to run out to take care of something. An oinus means the gas blew out. An oinus means that there was a leak in the kitchen. Whatever. An oinus. So that's muta. Kasav magar avram dafilu chatchila muta lahamten lasas ed yishine. What happens if you figure yourself like this? You say to yourself, listen, I'm not stressing about cooking. I'm going to wait till tomorrow, and I'll just cook it with a shinoi. There are most of you can cook with a shinoi, so I'll cook it with a shinoi. Why stress about getting everything done before yomtiv? I'll just use a shinoi. Is that mutter? So Magavim says, yeah, no problem. You can do that. Ubesefe big deyesh b'fakfikaze. Ochein. Im ein lo shoyz kaidim yomtiv b'vad deyesh l'smechaze. Which means the Mishnah Berurah is not so keen on this. Meaning, you can walk away from this shinoi and you say to yourself, I don't get the whole big deal. I can cook nothing on Erev Yom Tov. I'll cook everything on Yom Tov. I'll just do everything with the shinoi. So I'll put this in before that. I'll move this that way. Okay, inconvenient, yes, but manageable. Mr. Brewer seems to hold that's not so posh. Mr. Brewer thinks that using a shinoi is only perhaps a b'di'evit. So therefore, the chatchili, we should really try to cook everything before Yom Tov. So someone asked the Debrit Sina Rav at number 11 the following shayla. The Debrit Sina Rav was relatively recent, right? So he writes like this. Shaila, Haramobis and Mitov Tzadi, Hesif Al Posik, Shafilu Boychon of Shatsim, Koshe, Mapik Tam Kalam, Osam of Yomtiv, Yeshmachmir, Nasis Bev Yomtiv. The Ramah passes the Lechatchilu, you should get everything done that doesn't get ruined before Yomtiv. So he writes, Vieshla Ayin, the Hayoim Shikolechad Yeshla Mikarebe Beisoi. Today we all have freezers, refrigerators. Ve'ev Shalachin Habi Macholim Ev Yomtiv. We can cook everything on Ev Yomtiv. Ulushoma Mutoichai, we'll put them in the fridge. For you fake time a klav a klal, it will not affect the taste. I mean, this person is making an assumption. My assumption, which I still think is true, that nothing will be affected. He writes, "Akol potam adyom rishon," at least for the first day. You'll cook it on Erev Yom Tov. You'll serve it tomorrow. It could be less than 24 hours. Ulechein lechayri dvar meilu yitzarich lechatchila. So everything should have to be done before. Fine, but yeah, you can use a shinoi. But lechatchila, why is it that there are people who lechatchila cook on Yom Tov? What's the heter today? So look what the Debrit Sina Rav writes back. He writes, "Beroiv oichlim ein adyom meklal machel cham shenizvash layim v'nechal takeif." Achar Bishol, the Machosh and his Bashal Etmov and Iskarib and Makarib and Shub Macham Moise Oidapam. Says the Debrit Sina Rav, you're wrong. It's apparent the Debrit Sina Rav is an expert on food, and he knew it's not true. He thinks most foods, it's not the same. Now, is that subjective? Is that objective? Who defines this? And obviously, you speak to any professional chef who has a special palate for these things, they'll know right away. But are they the ones who are Kevei the Halachas? Again, I think most of us, maybe I'm wrong, most of us cannot tell a major difference. If your wife presented you with a piece of meat the first night of Yom Tov, and she told you, you know, I cooked this 2 weeks ago, I cooked this 2 days ago, you would know the difference? Or I cooked it 2 hours ago?
So depends on the food.
Depends on the food. Some foods don't. Some foods, yeah. Depends how well it freezes. Depends how well you store it. But
you could. But maybe it's just qualitative.
What do you mean?
Inherently, there is a
difference. That must be what he's saying. Now, whether or not we recognize it, there is a difference. The question is, but if society no longer views that as a difference, is it still considered a difference? If again, most of us are buying things that are no longer as fresh as we like it to be.
Listen, we have the schnitzel that
from last night.
Or
right, I agree.
Well, the one,
the question is, if they didn't tell you, would you know the difference?
I understand, but
that's part of the question. How do we define it? So he writes, he disagrees with this. He says, cook it fresh. He doesn't even think for a second you have to be machmer. For a machmer, he writes over here, if you're machmer in all these things, you don't get anything. You don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. You don't know the way things work. Things are better fresh. There are some foods which we'll see. They talk about that there are better preferred early, made earlier, but most foods we want it fresh. Therefore, says the Debrit Sina Rav, nothing to talk about. What we should end the shayna, but we can't. That would be no fun. So if you look. Right. He's saying that you ask anyone. Everyone knows this. Says in this in Karelitz, also a contemporary, Chutshoni, he writes at this, Af bizmanenu sharegilasu, shemishtamshim likiru vakafos atafshil bimikarum vakafim. Oh, you have to remember, today we eat things out of the freezer. It's part of our, not everything we eat is fresh today. Says in this Karelitz, mikom okim yeshchilik betam shal tafshil hasbashal yomtif, lebe tafshil hasbashal me'er yomtif. There's a difference. you could tell the difference, or not whether or not you could tell, but there is a difference. There is fundamentally a difference between fresh food and not fresh food. Therefore, the ene oise tam b'shvach k'maytav shol tarish is bashal achshav, v'al kein, moto levashal b'yomtiv, ein tzarech levashal me'ev yomtiv, v'lakpi ad yomtiv. Says in this in Karel, like the Debrei Seder Rav, there is no need at all to be concerned. You can cook everything you want fresh. Don't think twice. Similar psak is repeated in the sefer called Halachas Mayadim, where he writes to go through the same shtickle Torah. Malachas Lisha Bishul Vafiel Kimsha Oichel Mapigim Tam Im Mevashem Oitzoy Hay Oifem Oitzim Ev Yomtiv Mutal Asayis Mechatchil Ev Yomtiv Kim Vavar Besefal Umutal Lischek Tavilin Yolad Kam Spices Vechen Vashem. Oh, this is what we started talking about. What about the night of Yomtiv? This is, I think, is a hard sell. Yomtiv starts at 8 o'clock. You're going to cook it at 5 o'clock. You're going to tell me no. I could tell the difference if it's cooked at 5 o'clock versus if it's cooked at 7 o'clock. That, I think, is a good question. That the Debrei Seder Rav didn't address. How do you justify that? Justify cooking on the first night of Yom Tov? You could have cooked the meat 20 minutes, an hour ago. You could tell the difference between something an hour and something 3 hours? That, I think, is a fair question. So he writes, V'chein levasha b'lo Yom Tov af l'achilas ha'layla miyad b'chnis z'chak. That's also mutter. Av she'bevad al yofik tamim yasen me'ev Yom Tov. You can't really tell me the taste is so affected. Still mutter. Venira, and he writes, he gets this all from Rabbi Yashiv. This is all from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said it's mutter to cook the first night, even though it's very hard to justify what the heter is. And he doesn't really say what the heter is, Rabbi Yashiv. He just says the fact that no one draws this distinction, Shema Mino, it's mutter. Okay, but what's Taka Lepshat? Is there a difference between something cooked 3 hours and something cooked an hour before? Very hard to understand. He writes, Venira de Gambis, Manenu Mutal Afiz Lavasha Gadaka, even today. You can even go shechting today if you're that brave. Or if you know how to shecht, Af b'shiroi v'dor me'efshel v'asher mekaydim yomtiv lachnisim mekarira b'tei ha'kafei. Ulaf shiro me'lcham ektas b'yomtiv. B'lo ishi af v'kimat tam. It won't affect anything. Afilu mishirogel echol kach kol hashana. What happens if the whole year I eat like that? Or I have no sensitivity to the difference. Ve'in etzlo shum shino ben oichli tari lo oichli mukva mutter la'af vois l'vashe b'li shum shino. Still mutter. Okay, that's it. It's mutter. To me, I have no difference. My wife cooks like that in advance all the time. There are some people, the wife will cook all the suppers on Sunday, and she'll take it out of the freezer and serve it to you, which is fine. You probably don't know the difference or whatever. So I'll tell Yashiv, yeah, but if it's Friday, Yom Tov night, she can still cook the chicken fresh. Every other night, we never eat fresh chicken. Still mutter. To me, it seems like a chiddush, but that's the ruling of Rabbi Yashiv. That's where they write in all the contemporary, Simcha Bonim Kohn writes like this in his Halacha Sefer on Hilchos Yom Tov, based on this Rabbi Yashiv, even though, again, needs a little bit of hesber. Number 14, he writes, Kivin sha'oichel atzmei mapik tam. He says, it doesn't depend on what you recognize. It's perhaps the din in the cheftza. Well, being so lomdish over here, it's intrinsic. Meat cooked fresh is different than meat cooked not fresh. Elo she'efshel ases pula she'ishma taima. He says, all you're doing is you're trying to hold on to the freshness. Lo imetzinu she'chayiv azadam l'kach. You don't have to do that. U'mashigazuchacham be'ochel she'efshel ases me'ev yomtib lo she'yafik tam. Hainu oichel she'metar atzmei einenu mapik tam. That stuff that the Ramah said you have to do before, because those things, no taste is affected. Here the taste is affected, but you're trying to hold on to it by putting it in the freezer. That you don't have to do. Okay? He brings a raya from the Chayodim, quotes from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon used to grind up a schrein lel Pesach. So everyone asks, why do you have to grind it up lel Pesach? Grind it up an Erev Pesach. Tells us because it gets not the same. You tell me it's a subtle difference. You'll put it in a bottle like we all do. No, it's mutter. It's mutter. It's mutter. Okay, so that's what everyone hangs their hat on today. Now the Debrei Seder Rav has another kula. What happens if ulam imiyevshel yisimum b'mikareh me'ev yomtiv? Let's say your wife wants to cook a dish on ev yomtiv, but there's no more room in the fridge in the freezer. Is that considered efshel asayis me'ev yomtiv? Says the Debrei Seder Rav 100%. Ki emakim b'mikareh einu mechuyv liknois mikareh acher. I can just see your wife coming to you and have him say, I need to buy a new fridge because I have no more room in the old fridge. So go, you're not mechuyev to go buy another fridge. Now, why are you not mechuyev to borrow space in your neighbor? Maybe ask your neighbor if you have space. Says the Debrei Seder Rav, no. That's called not able to cook an Erev Yomtiv. Pirish. Ki machshirei oichel nefesh shelo yehef shel asayis me'ev yomtiv v'enai pirish lo yehef shel hechen klal el shayi etmo tarv le'olso biyodai. He says, because by machshirei oichel nefesh, it means that you couldn't do it. Not impossible, but couldn't. So here also, impossible doesn't mean physically, it means practically. So let's say there's no room. No more room in the fridge. So no problem. Your wife tells you, I want to make one more thing, but I have no more room in the fridge. Tell her, no problem, make it tomorrow. I could have made it today. That's not could have. You couldn't have made it tomorrow. I could bring it to a neighbor. You're not mechuyev to do so. That's considered e'efshel asayis. Now, if you look over here, number 16 from the Halachas Mayadim, he writes, what happens if it would cost you money? Let's say it would cost you money to make an Erev Yom Tov. How does that figure? I guess let's say, for example, if you want to cook the dish, you'd have to keep your babysitter longer. You need the babysitter, she's watching the kids, so you can cook the dish, you got to pay the babysitter. So if I do it on Yom Tov, my husband can watch the kids, or whatever, vice versa. But now I'm paying the babysitter, so if I want to make this dish on Erev Yom Tov, it's going to cost me money. So you don't have to do that. That's the Yevshal Seis Erev Yom Tov. Hefs the moment you don't have to do. So he writes, no, Shaila, what happens if it's Tircha? If let's say it would require much more effort to cook in an Erev Yom Tov. Let's say, for example, Erev Yom Tov, the house is flying, things are upside down, things are crazy, the house is a mess. So for me to cook this dish would be much more strenuous than if I just cook it on Yom Tov and everything's quiet. So he says also mutter. He says, let's say, for example, you have no kelim. My pots are all dirty. So I'd have to first start washing all the dishes. Tomorrow, they'll be washed. He says, that's good enough. Tircha Merubah is also a heter that justifies cooking on Erev, on Yom Tov itself.
Are all these shitas assuming a balabasta rather than, for example, a catering a hotel for Yom Tov? Would that be different? Because it could be more expensive to cook ahead of time because you've got to bring stuff in.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point. That would make a difference, yeah. But yeah, I think next week's show we'll talk a little bit more about, yeah, some of the heterim that they use in hotels. When they're doing mass productions of things, they have to come up to a lot of different attainment that we do in our own home because we're dealing with smaller numbers. If this in Karel, it's number 17, writes, what happens if you don't know where you want to serve a Yom Tov? You don't know what you're going to be in the mood for. And you wake up the first night Yom Tov after you come home from shul, you say, you know what? I'm in the mood for chicken. Can I make the chicken now? Now, if I would have just figured out what I wanted to eat on Yom Tov before, I could have made the chicken on Yom Tov. Says in this in Karel, that makes sense. That's EF. I couldn't have made it yesterday because I didn't know what I want to eat yesterday. Well, let's say on Erev Yom Tov, you didn't have the ingredients. The stores are closed. But on Yom Tov, you're going to have a neighbor who's coming and they'll bring you the ingredients. That's also EF Shal Asais. Then he writes, Tavshal Shal Yo'ef Shal Asais Yom Erev Yom Tov, Yivashal B'Shinoi. What's the Shinoi? How do you do the Shinoi? So he writes, Hainu She'eniachas HaKadera Ala Eish B'Shinoi. He says, if it's talking about a cooked dish, you put it on the fire because that's the malacha. In a Shinoi. Keep going. Litchoif Es HaKadera Im Zoraya Hayach Ala Eish. You push it. So he thinks the shinoi for cooking would be how you cook it or how you put it on the fire. That's what the malacha is. So each thing that you're doing, you have to ask yourself, what is the isser? And that, it doesn't sound like the biggest deal, right? Everyone's going to run themselves ragged to get everything done before Yom because you don't want to do it with the shinoi. Okay, so what's the shinoi? So I'll move it with this hand, that hand. Okay, not the end of the world. Okay, that's what he writes. Now, what's something that you should not be allowed to make on Yom Tov? So they write over here in Hilchas Chag B'Chag, he writes pudding or jello. Those are things that don't need to be done fresh, and they're actually done better because they sit and they congeal better. So he writes, Asiyah's pudding, a jello, also the kabel b'yom to pudding, a jello, they're better done before, therefore they're not mut. Someone asked me, Shlomo Zalman, a very fair question, which I never thought about in my entire life. What happens on Yom Tov when you want to have hot water for coffee or tea? So you don't put it up in the urn. You go to your tap, you turn on the switch, you open the tap, and you take all the hot water you want. Now that's a malacha. That's an Issa Deraisa. But it's mutter because machshira, it's oichel nefesh. Someone asked Hashem Zalman, I don't get it. Hot water. There's no mapik tam. If I take hot water and I cook it up in a kettle on Erev Yom Tov, it's the same hot water than if I take it from the tap on Yom Tov morning. So why am I allowed to open the tap on Yom Tov? It's kevaldik akasha. Based on what we're learning, it's a good question. It has to be some form of, there's a difference between the hot water that was cooked up on Erev Yom Tov and the hot water that's cooked up now? That's impressive.
Don't you have to use that cliche that makes it just a drop cooler?
Well, that's
that, you don't
that,
have to do that, right?
So. Right. So again, but I want hot water. So I go over to the urn, I take hot water versus I flip up the switch, the tap, and I get hot water that way. So most of us in Yom Tov don't put up an urn. Many of us do just for convenience reasons. But from a halachic standpoint, if I want hot water on Yom Tov, and I want to make a cup of tea, so I can walk over to my sink, turn on the hot water, take the hot water and use it. Now, depend for my hot water, you can get pretty hot. Some people have in their sink. Some people have a special extra hot water. Depends. Right. So, Frank, so someone asked Shlomo Zalman, why would you be allowed to walk over to your hot water and turn it on? That's something that could have been done before Yom Tov. You could have boiled up water and put it on the kettle. Or you could tell me the water. You could taste the difference between water cooked before Yom Tov and water cooked on Yom Tov. That's pretty impressive. So, Shlomo Zalman comes up with a cooler, very interesting cooler, number 19. He writes, why are we not mechuyif to cook up hot water before Yom Tov? Now again, many of us do it just for practical purposes because it's just easier to have a big urn here. But why are we not mechuyif from a halachic standpoint? The taste is not affected. So it says Reb Shmuel Shabbos, it says New Earth, Shemati Megalim Shabbos Amar Orbach, the Mekimin Sheish Bekach Mishom Hoitzos Kesef. Cost money. Got to keep the gas on. Got to run the electricity. Okay? Mishum Shehamayim Holchem U'mischasrim. Then the water is going to go away. V'gam Lefish Ein Kevel Lishtiyah, Mishom Kol Eilam Motel Hachem Af B'yamtif, Af B'lishinui. Right. Here in America, I don't know. Here in America, I guess what it'll tell you, you turn on the hot water. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works today. Right, so if I cared. Right, so he'll argue that running the urn will cost you money.
Yeah.
Right, so therefore it's mutter just to turn on the hot water, right? Okay. Refilling it wouldn't be a problem. Refilling would not. What do you mean refilling? Right, because you couldn't have done it before.
You use up what's in there.
That couldn't do anything more about it. Okay. Right, that's right. But his
water cooler that has the hot water.
That's right. Right, that wouldn't be a problem. But his argument is an interesting argument. Many of us don't think about it. On Yom Tov, we just go over and we right away open the. People do this. They turn on the hot water and they. Shem Zalman thinks that's questionable. Amaisa, he justifies. Then he talks about what's another case of something which you couldn't have done before Yom Tov. Let's say, for example, you're sitting down at Yom Tov meal. All of a sudden, a family of 12 pop in. Oh, we're joining you for the Suda. I never anticipated these people coming. They just invited themselves. So then you go in the back and you start cooking. That's mutter. That would be completely mutter to do. Again, I don't know if that's what you want to do, but that would be another example, says the Shmir Shabbos, of what would be mutter. That's right. That's right. That's always what we're chashish. Now, what I want to get to now, and that we ran out of time, as we often do here, is what exactly is mutter under the banner of Eichel Nefesh? There's a famous Gemara in Ksubis, which we spoke about when we did the sugya of showers on Yom Tov, where the Gemara has a comment like this. The Gemara says, even when we talk about Eichel Nefesh, there's another rule. Not only is it Eichel Nefesh that has to be done before Yom Tov, but it has to be what's called Shava L'chol Nefesh. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara wants to know, can I do Mugmar? What's Mugmar? Mugmar used to be that they would smoke incense, and it had a certain smell, and they'd make a fire to make the smell. So the Gemara says, can you do that on Yom Tov? The Gemara says, no. Even though we have a principle to mitoch shehut ravol toch chinam shel tzerich bottom number 21 in the left corner amale alech amakra acha sheyachol chonefesh dava hashav lechonefesh, and it's something that everyone does. And Rashi says mugmar was only for the mufunakim, the better, the higher class. Most of us don't care how our clothing smells, so it's not mutter. Frekta gemara kasha amale ravacha bereid ravol ravashi el miato nizdam lo tzvi biyomtiv. Let's say you're lucky enough to have a deer on yomtiv. Deer is very hard to get, very expensive. So it shouldn't be mutter to eat it, to cook it on Yom Tov. Why? Because not everyone eats deer. So under that same banner, would I be allowed to cook up very expensive meat? I happen to have very expensive meat because I can afford it, but most of the Klal Yisrael doesn't eat this meat. Would I be allowed to? So the Gemara thinks it's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So the Gemara answers, Amalei ano dover hatzoyrich l'chol nefesh kamina. I meant something which is tzoyrich, everyone. Tzvi tzoyrich l'chol nefeshu. Tzvi is something that everyone needs. How do we learn this Gemara? So the Ra'ah in the Chedushi Ra'ah number 22 writes, "V'chol inyan achila davar hashav l'chol nefesh." You know what the Gemara's distinction is? Food and everything else. Everyone needs food. Now you can't always get your hands on it. You can't always afford it. But food is something that everyone needs. Therefore, Zok the Gemara, food is by definition shav l'chol nefesh. Even if I cook up the strangest dish in the world, and no one in their right mind wants to eat it. Let's say I cook crazy spicy. Crazy spicy. No one eats this. So you'll argue, why is that mutter? It's not davar shav l'chol nefesh. Zok the Ra, that doesn't matter. Food is always shav l'chol nefesh. Across the board, it doesn't matter what it is. That's the opinion of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah?
To say that.
That's how you learn the Gemara. Right, so there's a Rashi in Beya, number 23. If you look in Rashi, Rashi writes on another Gemara, the Gemara over there was talking about another type of cooking. So Rashi says, "Da'oichel nefesh ro'oi aflaniyim, elosheinu matzi lehem, v'domi l'nizdam l'tzvi." Rashi learned, what's pshat by tzvi? Pshat by tzvi is we would all love to eat steaks. Pasha can't afford it. Now, but there are certain foods that you wouldn't eat. If you don't like spicy food and I cooked you spicy food, even if you gave it to me for free, I wouldn't eat it. So is spicy food the same thing as a steak? I understand. There's higher class food which I'd love to eat, which I can't afford. What if it's something I don't want? It's spicy. It's salty. It's sweet. Let's say you want to make candy. I want to make a baked apple on Yom Tov. I don't want to touch a baked apple. It's too sweet for me. Is that still shav l'chol nefesh? So that's a big discussion amongst the poskim. How do we define shav l'chol nefesh? Let's say you cook, you come from some strange town. Let's say you cook Moroccan food. Not that Moroccans are strange, but let's say you cook Moroccan food. And you don't come from Morocco. You don't eat Moroccan food. Is that Shavu L'chol Nefesh? What happens if you want to cook Kitnias on Pesach? That's definitely not Shavu L'chol Nefesh because all B'nai Ashkenaz can't eat it. So these are some of the shahs. L'maisa, the Pesachim are Mekel. They basically hold like this or other. All food is okay. Food is food. No one else eats it. It's mutter. That's a big shiloh. Let's say you have a very unique palate. Not because it's fancy. Fancy I can live with. But if it's something that no one else wants. Again, let's say you cook crazy spicy. You want to cook up on Yom Tov spicy hot poppers with 20 layers of people wouldn't eat it even if you paid them. Is that shavu l'chol nefesh? So the place can say it is. Because food is food. And the push comes to shove, you would eat it. Even though l'maisa, it's not your preferred taste. L'maisa, the place can say it would be mutter. So b'nei neder, next week we'll get into some more